Okay, let's begin. Okay, I think we can begin. Okay. Welcome to one of the great events of the season and the year, and it's when we get to hand out the jewelry in honor of our colleagues who have contributed so much to the organization and to our library family and community. And of course, today's the day that my boss and everybody's boss, you all report to him in your own way through me. So I think everyone knows Chris Manfredi. I'll just say a couple of things that I know we're still plowing through finals and it's snowy and whatever, but just mind the students and the stress they're under. We're first-line people. And again, thank you all for a really spectacular year. We've been doing a lot, and the planning exercise was great. It was really a lot of fun. I hope that everybody enjoyed it as much as I did, and that you weren't quite as tired as I was at the end of it. But in any case, don't have a whole lot more to report. That I don't think that y'all don't pretty much know. There is an HR update, which is Isabel's favorite. Everybody's absolute favorite thing to do. And so let's get on with this.
Hundreds of thousands of fans around the world. Yeah. Anyway, thanks a lot, Colleen. Thanks for once again inviting me. I'm very happy to be here. I also want to extend my thanks on behalf of everyone in the senior administrative team to all of you for the work you do. Libraries and the services they provide to our students and our faculty are obviously at the core of what we do. I'm getting my staging instructions. Need a little X for me to stand. At the core of what we do, supporting our students in their learning and supporting our faculty in their research is obviously one of the core things that you do, and I want to thank all of you for the for everything you do to advance those two goals. I don't have a lot to say today because a big focus of today's event is celebratory, and nothing ruins a celebration more quickly than a speech from a provost. So what I thought I'd do is I'd just spend a few minutes. I know you've got a lot of really interesting and important things to do. Happy to take questions, comments, concerns, and try to fill in some gaps in your knowledge on things that are going on in the university. So I'm really here at your disposal, so I'm happy to take questions rather than give a speech. Plus, it's December 13th, and I'm starting to get really tired. So I'm sure all of you are, too. So it's easier to answer questions than try to make a speech. Yeah, go ahead. You can ask me how the budget is, yeah. So we're in the midst, we're sort of finishing up the first phase of our budget preparation for fiscal year 19. So I'll tell you a little bit about fiscal year 17 and then 18, which is the fiscal year we're in now and going forward. Fiscal year 17 ended with, or at least let me put it this way, fiscal year 18 ended with a bit of a surprise in July, to be frank, about fiscal year 17, which is really about fiscal year 14. So let me try to explain that. The way the Quebec government hands out its grants is that you never know your grant, you are not absolutely sure of your grant for year T until year T plus 2, because they are constantly recalibrating your student enrollment numbers. And this year, we had 2 years of what's called a recomptage, which is that the government went back and looked at the grants it gave us for fiscal year 2014 and fiscal year 2015 and decided that they'd in fact given us more than we'd deserved, because they had made certain calculations about, or certain projections of student growth across the system, and they had just distributed the money on a proportional basis to all the universities based on their share of that growth. McGill, of course, has a, we have a policy, or our strategy is to keep our growth in a fairly stable, like growing a half of 1%. They anticipated 5%, so they gave us money on that basis. And then when they came back 2 years later and recalibrated our actual student numbers, they determined that they'd in fact given us more money. But of course, we got the check and we spent the money in 2014 and 2015. So that we got a rate comptage, which meant that they took $25 million off of our fiscal year 17 grant. So while we had a budget that was basically a break-even budget for fiscal year 17, when the smoke cleared, we actually had a big deficit for fiscal year 17, which was a bit unexpected, to say the least. It's not critical. We have to do something called a plan de redressement to show how we'll get back to balanced budget in 3 to 5 years. So that was a little bit of a surprise meeting I got in July, in the midst of the summer. So we'll have to plan around that. On the other hand, our revenues for fiscal year 18 are running much higher than we'd budgeted for when we did the budget in when we submitted the budget in May, because our enrollment, our student enrollment, both the numbers and the mix is up in our, and these are real calculations now. These are our calculations, which are more accurate than the government's calculations. So we've been able to, we're going to end fiscal year 18 more or less where we expected to end, because the additional revenue has allowed us to make some provisions for certain things. So we've put, for example, we've put a $10.8 million provision that we didn't have there to cover, to ensure the solvency of our defined benefit pension plan, which is obviously very important. If we need it, it's there to spend. If we don't need it, then it will mean that we'll end up the year in a better financial position. The university has a practice, I guess it's almost a golden rule. The iron law of McGill University is that we are protecting our library acquisitions budget, which means we spend what we need to spend to get our acquisitions. It's one of the things that makes us number one in the McLean's rankings. But of course, as you know, the rate of inflation on library material far outpaces the general rate of inflation, and even the rate of inflation of other university expenses, which are higher than the regular rate of inflation. So that's an in-year pressure on our budget, and the fact that most of those, probably 100% of those, if not close to 100% of those expenditures, are in currencies other than the Canadian dollar, which means that as currencies fluctuate, so that's a big mid-year calculation. So we're going to end up fiscal year 18 about where we expected to end up. We're doing planning for fiscal year 19. We don't see any major adjustments. I might have to slow down the academic recruitment pace a little bit just to balance things out. Not imagining any big budget cuts. One of the things we're doing is we're doing a deep dive analysis of our facilities management operation, which obviously is a big chunk of what we do, and we think we can get some savings there. So we're looking at that very closely. So that's where we are. We have our collective agreements that will, you know, build in. We've got an agreement with MAUT for a 3-year salary policy for academics and librarians. We have our collective agreement. So that's like the rate comptage was a bit of a shock, and we'll have to. But we've put in place, just to be assured, we've put in place now aspects of our revenue projection modeling, which it's not that we'll never have a rate comptage, but it will never be a surprise again. So we're going to be able to calculate these things out. So.
Other questions?
Mark.
I believe that after a one-year hiatus a couple of years ago, this year Quebec has finally restarted the process of looking at the funding formula, yep, specifically in funding issues. More generally, I was wondering if you have an update on where that process is. I think we do have representation on that working group.
Yeah, so there is a small working group of a group of universities that's looking at it, and then their results of their analysis will be spread out to the other universities, and McGill is represented on that working group. I think there's five or six universities that are doing the initial look, and then it's going to go out further than that. This is something that I don't think has been done since the early 2000s, actually. First of all, looking at the Clardaire codes, which are the different classifications of disciplines, which are used to determine funding weights and so on. And right now, I can't even remember. I think there's, 100 and something different Clardaire codes. And the idea is, first of all, to reduce those down to 50 or so. So simplify the system a little bit more. And then to think through, to readjust the weightings of the different disciplines. And so that will affect how, it's not that there'll be more money in the system, but the way the money is distributed may be affected by that. We think to McGill's advantage, because we're strong in the more heavily weighted disciplines. The last time they did this, in fact, when they recalculated everything, McGill came out so much ahead. That's the source of the infamous Ajustement McGill, which was that McGill ended up with so much more money, or let's say the gains to McGill were so much higher than every other university, that we got a negative $12 million adjustment so that we couldn't win as much as we were going to win. We got rid of that after, in the mid-2000s. Then there's some looking at the funding formula itself in terms of how the province treats students from different areas, the whole question of the forfeiture. So all those issues are being looked at as well. So hopefully it'll all get sorted out before the election.
Can you just say a couple of words about, you mentioned facilities, buildings. I noticed that some departments are moving onto some of the buildings on Sherbrooke Street, 2001 McGill College. So are there any, besides the Royal Vic, which we know is a big right. story, are there any plans to sell or get rid of, buildings that are up on the mountain?
So I'll just mention a couple things that are happening. So as you know, we've completed the purchase of 680 and 688 Sherbrooke, which is the building on the corner of Henri Bourassa and Sherbrooke. We owned half of it. We've now completed the purchase of the other half. And so we're the Faculty of the School of Nursing is moving in there, as is the School of Physical and Occupational Therapy and a couple of other things. So that's one set of moves. 2001 McGill College, we're emptying out to the north or the west wing of Stuart Biology. It has to have some major work done on it, so psychology is moving in there. So that's a temporary move for that.
Was that temporary?
Yeah, well, temporary is, for the 3 or 4 years it'll take to redo Stuart Biology, which is in pretty bad shape. And we've got SIF funding, the Strategic Infrastructure Fund funding from the federal government to support part of that. So the government decides how much space we're entitled to, and they will only support up to that amount of space. We currently have a space deficit, which means we currently occupy less space than the government says we could occupy. The Royal Vic project, if it, assuming we go through with it, and again, that's a big assumption because we haven't made that final decision yet, that would actually put us over our space. So one of the things we have to do is look at other kinds of space and take it off of our academic inventory. That doesn't mean disposing of it or selling it. It just means not using it in some sense. And because there a lot of the buildings along Peel and up in the mansions up near the Faculty of Medicine, these are not buildings that were meant to house academic activities. A classroom in somebody's bedroom is not the best way to. So, and they're very highly inefficient buildings, right? They've got poorly insulated. They're expensive to operate. A lot of them have serious deferred maintenance issues. So we'd like to take those out of our academic inventory. What exactly that means is another question. And I know there's going to be some expansion of Des Hôtels up through the row houses here, but that's something that we're looking at as well. I think the Dobson Center's already moved into one of the row houses across. So those are some things. So, but we have to somehow consolidate, and I think it's in our own interests to do that. McGill has one of the things that contributes to our facilities management expenses is that we operate way more buildings. We have very inefficient space. One of the things I never thought I'd have to learn as a political scientist is the notion of net to gross square meters and what all that means. And probably Colleen never thought she had to learn that. Maybe as a librarian she learned that way before I did. But we've got a really inefficient net to gross square meters situation. So lots of gross square meters, but a very small proportion of it that's actually usable. So
ask questions that are not appropriate, but when you take something out of the academic inventory, what is the range of options you have to do with them when they're not on the, if not selling them, do they become condos or something?
No, they wouldn't. I mean, that's a good question, and I don't, you can mothball them for a time. You can, and do other things with them, yeah. That's just something we're looking at. Carol.
Can you give us some words about the academic strategic plan and maybe highlight also objective goals that may impact the libraries?
Wow. This is a test to see if the provost can remember his own strategic academic plan. So let me put it this way. First of all, the plan's really short. It's less than 5 pages long. It focuses on 5 areas. And I would say that a couple of things that I think one of the commitments, there's a whole paragraph there about building a 21st century campus around a smart campus and enhancing our digital infrastructure. And I think I think that's an area where the library can help us out. Enhancing, obviously, our... some of our spaces for students, and we know we've got a whole set of ideas around how to do that with the library. Those are areas that I think are important. That's off the top of my head. Those are the things that come to mind. Yes?
Can you talk a bit about the Aboriginal Task Force and how and where we are in terms of addressing some of the recommendations from the TRC?
So Task Force on Indigenous Studies and Education, of course, submitted its report in June. There are 52 calls to action in our report. The report wasn't meant to be directly a response to the TRC, but obviously that provided important context for it. So it wasn't specifically about how can McGill respond to the TRC's calls to action about that are around university. So we've got 52 calls to actions. The ones we're focusing on right now have to do with faculty and staff recruitment, student recruitment, and curriculum changes. So or curriculum development. So I wouldn't just say changes necessarily. So we've set a goal of 10 new tenure track positions of Indigenous people. Over the next 3 years, so we'll go out and do that. We have we've set targets on our Indigenous student recruitment, basically tripling the number of self-identified Indigenous students we have at McGill from just over 300 to 1,000. We may have more than 300, we don't know, because that's the number we know that are self-identified. Around curriculum, we are looking at, we're putting a lot of money into or resources into the Indigenous Studies program that's within the Faculty of Arts, as well as some other areas. In order to do that, I have a special advisor in my office, Kagwila Cook, who used to be one of our Indigenous student recruiters. We've moved him into my office for the year to help us build the implementation plan. We have added So we've replaced him as a student recruiter. We've added another second student recruiter to buttress the our student recruitment in that area. And on the faculty side, I must say that the deans, even before the final task force report came in, the deans were already moving forward on that. So this year we hired our first ever indigenous professor in the Faculty of Law, quite apart from this group, this 10 that we're trying to do. The School of the Faculty of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences has hired an Aboriginal indigenous woman originally from Kahnawake, who's in the School of Dietetics and Human Nutrition, who was at the University of Hawaii. So maybe she's having second thoughts. So. But she's, you know, she's a Mohawk from Kahnawake, PhD from Université de Montréal, who had a job in Hawaii. We managed to bring her back. So there's these little things happening all over, so I'm really excited about it. There are some elements of the calls to action which may challenge us more than others, because it will force us to think about our cultures and practices, and we'll work on how to do those. So,
any other questions? Thank you, and
thanks, Colleen.
Once again, for all the support that you give for our collections budget and our services.
Well, just keep us number one in McLean's. We'll be happy.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story on that.
Do you need the microphone now?
Yeah,
or the guys?
Other people will. Thank you very much. Okay, so I think it's...
We're going to switch the agenda.
We're going to switch the agenda a little bit, and it's the Isabel Show. Here we go.
My favorite show. Good afternoon, everybody. A bit of old news, but I have two scoops today. I reserve two fresh news for today's Dean's Corner. So since our last update, we've welcomed a few new employees among our ranks on December 4, strategic planning exercise. We welcome two new employees among our ranks. So we welcome Arianna Comodini, who's with us today. We also welcome Jacqueline Sundberg within the Dean's Office. There was also Amy Douaron, who started October 12, but I don't think she's with us today. I don't see her. So welcome, Amy. My first scoop, Frederick Giuliano, that you've met back in November, I think, right, the interviews, will come in January. He will be the new archivist within the archive, so we're very happy to have him as of January. Digital initiative, welcome Mehmood Khalid, who you may have a chance to meet during the strategic attention, but he's not with us today. In January, digital initiative will welcome a second programmer, Steve Lapomeray. And then collection services, ebook resources, ebooks, right? Yeah, resources, electronic resources. Andrew will welcome Clara Terp. Clara was the successful candidate in the search for a metadata analyst librarian. So she will be joining us on January 15. We had also a few internal movement back in this fall, during the fall. So if you remember, back in November, we posted a position of assessment librarian. So during the period of the posting, we received an application from an internal candidate. So after discussion with the hiring manager, who's Colleen Cook, Dean Cook, and the search committee, we've decided to treat this position as a call of interest, since we had an internal candidate who really distinguished herself from the rest of the pool. So we will be welcoming in the Dean's Office Giovanna Badia, hiding in the back, as the new assessment librarian. Émilie Devry-Séguin, who had joined, there she is, who had joined us all back in the fall, accepted a position within Collection Services in Louise and Hélène's group. Vanessa DeFrancesco, who came to us as an intern, obtained a regular position as assistant curator. Vanessa is not with us today, but congratulations, Vanessa. Elizabeth Gibson will continue her wonderful work as a library supervisor, but at the law library. Danielle convinced her to go up the hill for the winter. Quite, you must have used very good arguments. And then finally, the dean's office is happy to officially welcome Lauren Goldman, who obtained a regular position after being with us as a term for almost 2 years. Almost 2 years. And finally, from MAC, congratulations, Milan. Milan obtained a tenure track position after being on a contract for a year. So regarding sabbatical, as you know, the sabbatical period for applying ended, and we will, six of our colleagues.
These aren't totally approved yet.
Oh.
They still have the...
No pressure.
No pressure.
Turn down, but okay. With the provost here.
Thank you. Well, again, I can kiss that salary increase goodbye. So Giovanna Baggia may or may not be going on a sabbatical leave, depends on the provost's approval, on March 1st, 2018, for 6 months. Eamon Duffy was approved last year, so we're cool with Eamon. He's not with us here, but he will be leaving us on February 15th. Jen Gore may or may not go on a sabbatical leave on March 1st. Same for Don McKinnon on March 1st, Jennifer Zhao for June 1st, and Tara for winter of 2019. I always say, you know, with welcome comes a farewell. We will be losing Ed Bilodeau in the month of March. Ed took a position as a system librarian at Carleton University. Mary Lorenko is currently enjoying her last vacation and will be retiring in January. And then we said goodbye to Sophie Trallier-Martial back in November. And then it will be the turn of Richard Ver to enjoy a well-deserved retirement. He is also currently on vacation and will be officially retiring from the university in February. Next section is the recruitment. So those are the in-play positions, so the position that we are currently working on. There is a liaison librarian for rare books and special collection. It's a second posting. So the posting has closed. We will be reviewing the applicants shortly. Two positions in Schulich. Those are the positions that we had five candidates coming from Job Talk back in November. So we're finalizing the offers in those cases, and then records management administrator in archives. It's an M position, and there too we're close to closing that file. We're almost there. Upcoming searches, no specific orders. It's not because it's the first that it will be the first one tackle, and if I forgot one, it's because it's like the org chart, it's a moving target. Every time someone gets a position, we reassess all the time. So we do have a vacancy in collection services, more particularly in ILL as a documentation technician. We have also a vacancy, a liaison librarian at the law library. There's the replacement for Jane Burpee, who left back in November, so the data curation and scholarly communications in digital initiative. There's a position of cataloging editor and acquisition in the collection development group and collection services, liaison librarian for rare books and special collection, the replacement of Richard, in a sense. The system librarian position also, we posted the position twice, but so far the search was not successful. And now that Giovanna will be coming to the dean's office, there will be a search at one point for a liaison librarian in Schulich. So now to the fun part of the HR update, n'est-ce pas? So this year, it's a small group of new inductees to the special Pelican group. We only have 16 of our colleagues who are being honored, and we have a bit of a change in demographic. The biggest group is the 15 years of services. Yeah, usually it's 30, 35.
Right. That's why we're doing so much recruitment. No one. You have to talk to me, not her, when you're going to retire. And I'm not as nice.
So our,
okay,
our
so,
so
how we're going to do this, we're going to let Chris hand it out. And then we'll have a little photo with the two of us. Okay.
So,
so why don't you hold on to this?
Okay, I'll hold on to the mic then.
Okay.
I don't see Rachel.
Oh, there you are. You skipped by.
Well, Rachel, come on down.
Susan Fabrizi from the Dean's Office. From Collection Services, Mr. Senior. From ILL, Cheryl Smeal. From Law, Sonia Smith. Finally, Natalie Waters from Schulich. There's also Patricia Nellison from ILL who's celebrating 15 years, but she's not with us today. Next group, 30 years, so a huge jump in time. And I was telling her when she came in that when I started, it was her 25-year spin, and I had named her Margaret, and she didn't know I was naming her. So I learned my lesson. Maggie Allen. Then from Collection Services, Benjamin Amaya.
Thank you.
Also from Collection Services, Ellen Kunjbi Aridas. And then from Schulich, Robert Selby. Back in July, Gordon Burr celebrated 35 years of services at McGill, and I actually think, there he is. And I actually think that this is when you gave me your letter in July, no?
Yeah, at first I took Colleen's advice. I talked to her first.
Okay, yes, yes.
So that letter signed already, and then thank you. Speeded up the process. Yeah.
So then, 35 years of services for Gordon Burr. And then this year also we had Margaret Blanford, who celebrated 40 years, but she's not with us today. And there's also James Rajan Singh from McDonald Campus, 45 years. Congratulations. No 50. We'll have to stick around.
If anybody wants to do 50, come talk to me first. Maybe I need to tell you about life. Okay, so I guess that's it, except for our Santre person.
Yes, someone from the NDG Food Depot who's on her way. Donna just went to get her.
Okay.
So we can announce our final amount.
Okay, so who can
Donna, do you wanna
who can up? Do that?
Thank you very much to everyone for participating in the different activities. We couldn't have raised this amount without you. And there's 1 in 7 people on the island of Montreal that benefits from the funding that Centre receives because it goes to all sorts of different organizations on the island of Montreal. So from the Sweet Retreat, we raised $518.15. So a round of applause to everyone. Yay. The 50-50 draw was $435.50, and the button-making, Halloween candy, and other activities were another $437. So we raised a total of $1,390.65, and it closely matches to what we raised last year. I'm counting. I shouldn't be, but I am. So thank you, everyone. And there is someone who's coming. She's on her way from Santé just to speak a little bit.
Yeah, but we can do what we did last time. We can enjoy at the reception, and the person can speak at the reception.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, why don't we do that? So we're going to close this, and I'd just like to say one thing about Centrade, and I really, really very much appreciate all the events that all of our people and our committee do. I mean, it is, I just can't tell you how much fun this is. Not only are we raising money for a good cause, it's really, really fun. But also, just as a reminder, you can also do this payroll deduction thing, and it's the easiest thing in the world. It's what I do. And they've got these great tax laws here that are really good. You know, it somehow, yeah, it's better. It works really well. So, and unfortunately, we don't get to know how much money from our organization is going that way. And I wish we did. But in any case, it's an easy way, just a little bit of money every 2 weeks and, you know, great cause and you don't, it's not very painful. So I want to have more reasons to listen to our great, talented people. And as I said, we've almost got a symphony, a little low on the violins and violas, but we've almost got everybody else. Okay, so let's
part.
What?
We have a pianist now.
Oh.
Pascal.
Marigny. Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. Sheesh. Harpsichord?
Yeah.
Okay. We could certainly do a rock and roll band. Anyway, so thank you all very much. Say congratulations to all of our penned people, and we'll hear from our SunTrade person while we have a little coffee and a cookie. Thank you.